You want to cut your copy down by half and then cut it down by half again. You just want the least amount of copy as you can have on a page. You want it to get straight to the point. Sell whatever you're selling. Sell the feeling that you're trying to emulate in the copy. But you don't need your copy to be long AF. Welcome to the Dream Smarter Podcast, a no BS conversation about entrepreneurship and becoming successful in smart and efficient ways. What is up, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of the Dream Smarter Podcast. My name is Alex. I'm the host of the show, and I'm also the founder of Hyman Studio. Hyman Studio does done-for-you custom branding and website design for aesthetic CEOs, and we also have education for designers and entrepreneurs. So, speaking of designing, today is going to be a really fun topic because we are actually going to talk about something that's super important to design, which is typography. I am such a huge type lover. It's a huge part of my designs and just my style in general. And I notice with type, it's something that most people fuck up. It's something that a lot of designers struggle with. It's something that, especially if you're not a designer, it's really, really tough to nail down and understand and get right in your brand design, in your social design, in your website design, and all of those different things. I talk a lot about typography in all of my trainings, and so I thought it would be great to give you guys some free tips on how you can up your type game in your business, whether you're a designer or not. So let's get right into it. I do want to preface this lesson today by saying you can break the rules that I'm about to give you if you know why you're breaking them. I love a good plot twist. I love a good rule breaker, but the only way you can do that is if you truly know why you're doing it and if you're educated enough on the topic that you can make that conscious decision to break the rules. So if you're somebody who is not a typography master, then I would probably stick to all the things that I'm giving you today. All these rules, I would probably stick to them. It just makes your stuff look better, trust me. And then once you get to a point where you're like, following the rules over and over and over again, and you're ready to branch out and you feel like you've mastered, you know, the basic type rules, then feel free to break these. I do it a lot in my designs and just within my brands in general, but it's because I am at that master level. So just know that from the beginning. But yeah, I'm really excited. Let's do this. Tip number one is using a proper type suite. So I talk about this all the time. It's something that we give all of our clients when we do their branding. Type suites are really important. And if you're somebody who's like, what the fuck is a type suite? A type suite is basically a combination of fonts that create type hierarchy in your brand. Type hierarchy is understanding, you know, what people look at first, second, third, fourth. Like, what is the most important thing on the page or in the design or in the section, whatever it may be, and what's the least important, and how can you make your type fit in a certain style or way to help guide the eye down the information. So when you're building a type suite, what you want to look at is, what are your title fonts? Those are going to be the largest, most prominent pieces of information on your page. Then what is the subhead? That is information that goes under or above the title to help support the title. And then what is your body copy font? So that's the little text, like when you're reading a book, that's all body copy font, right? Unless you're at the title page, which has the title and the title font. So you're creating a set of three typefaces. Sometimes it will be, you'll have a fourth, and that will be considered your display font. So for instance, if you do decide to include a script or something a little bit more ornate, that is called a display font, and those are used very sparingly throughout the brand, but just as little design elements. So you'll have your title, your subhead, your body, possibly a display. What you want to do is you want to have all of these typefaces play together, right? Because you need to look at each one on their own and say, how do they look on their own? But how do they look as a group? Because that's really what matters. And that's one thing when it comes to just brand design in general, I'm very good at, because I have the experience in doing this. Those teens. He's like, stop recording, mom, play with me. I have experience with this, and it's looking at brands in a macro way. At a macro level instead of a micro level. I mean, you truly have to do both, right? It's like, what is the type suite look like? What is the color palette? What is the logo? But truly, when you're creating a brand, you need to be able to step outside of your body. Almost like imagine yourself here, right? You're sitting, you're standing, whatever you're doing. And then imagine your spirit coming outside of your body and watching you do whatever you're doing right now. So imagine it up in the sky, looking at you, doing what you're doing. How does everything look together in the space where you're sitting or standing or whatever? That is what we do with brands, right? Because everything needs to play on its own, but truly it needs to play together. So you have to look at each typeface on its own, but you have to look more so at how it plays together. And when you look at how they all play together, it really comes down to like, you don't need to have these crazy styled typefaces. And that's something that I notice so many people do is they actually, which I'm going to get into this in a little bit here in the next tip. But a lot of people will choose a display font for their title typeface in their type suite. Display fonts are not meant to be title typefaces. They're meant to be display typefaces. And a display typeface is used very sparingly throughout the brand. It's more ornate. It's more, it just has a lot going on. It's more gaudy. So imagine walking into a room or a home and there's like this gaudy wallpaper all over the wall, right? That is too much. It's too much. But maybe you walk into another space and the wallpaper is only on one wall as an accent wall, you know, behind the bed or something like that. That is just enough to bring in some elements, to bring in some design interest, but it's not like an eyesore where you're like, I can't sit in here anymore because my eyes are like so stressed out with all of this wallpaper. That's the same with typefaces. So you never want to use a display font for your title. You really want to have like simply beautiful, iconic typefaces that all play together. And also typefaces have their own personality when you look at them, right? A serif has a different personality than a sans serif. And there may be, if you're not familiar with type, there may be some terms I'm throwing out right now. Just do a quick Google search and you'll get your information if you've never heard of these things before. But a serif feels more editorial. A sans serif feels more modern. You know, it obviously depends on the actual typeface that you're looking at, but as a whole, that is the feeling they both give. So what you want to do is you want to create your type suite, but you don't just say, okay, I'm going to use Helvetica for my title. I'm going to use Prada for my title. I'm going to use Helvetica for my subhead, and I'm going to use Avenir for my body or something like that, right? You don't just say that. What you need to do is you need to style the typeface because it's not just the typeface. You know what I'm saying? So let's say you're using Prada for your head, your title, your headline, whatever you want to call it. Maybe you want to style that in all caps. Maybe you want it in title case. Maybe you want to mix and I'm not quite sure if Prada has an italics, but let's pretend. Maybe you want to say, I'm going to do the regular in all caps, and then I'm going to have the italicized version of that to call out specific words in title case in italics. So you go through and you say, how am I going to use this in my brand for the title? Then you go to the subhead. Usually subheads are, I typically will use a serif for a title and a sans serif for a subhead. That's my particular style. Don't copy me. And it's not copying, right? But don't feel like you need to follow that 100%. If your style is using sans serifs for, you know, and I'm talking to designers right now. If your style is using sans serifs a lot for titles, great, do that. You know, you don't need to follow this 100%. I'm just saying what I typically do with my style is I typically will do a serif for a title and then a sans serif for a subhead. And generally with the subhead that is a sans serif, I put a little bit of spacing in between the letters. For the titles, I typically don't ever do that, or sometimes I'll even decrease the letter spacing in the titles. And then the body copy font can really be whatever you want, but the body copy really needs to be super legible. You can't choose a typeface that is hard to read. It needs to just be something very simple, very easy to read, all of those things. So once you come up with that type suite you have styled, you only want to use it that way throughout all branding assets, especially if you're not a designer. Just use it the way your designer gave it to you or the way that you designed it, right? Stay consistent. It's going to show, you know, brand recognition if you can stay consistent with your type suite. The one thing that drives me crazy is when I will go to somebody's stuff and I see a typeface not used properly, and I know that their designer did not give it to them that way, right? Because there are fonts and there's like a reason why your designer is sending you a type suite styled in a particular way. And I even see my clients doing this sometimes and I kind of have to coach them as to like, don't do that. Don't use this typeface in all caps. It's not meant to be in all caps. And that's why I never styled it in all caps in your branding, right? So it's, there are rules when it comes to specific typefaces themselves as well. So really you want to create something and then just stay consistent with it. All right, tip number two, you want to stay away from fancy fonts. Those display fonts that I was talking about, we've already kind of went through the display versus title. A lot of the fancy fonts that you find on Creative Market, especially on the first page, consider those a no, okay? Because A, everybody's going to use them because they're on the first page. Everybody has seen some specific typefaces, right? You'll scroll through and you'll be like, I see this everywhere. It's almost like a cool new typeface comes out on Creative Market, and then everyone and their mama are using that typeface for their logo or for their headers or whatever. And a lot of the display typefaces have what are called glyphs. And if you're in my designer training, I show you how to use these glyphs, especially to make logos and do some really fun things with the type. But you don't want to use those as titles, you know, throughout your brand. That would just be used for your logo or little graphics here or there with one word type of things. Again, stay away from the first page of Creative Market. To be honest, Creative Market is a tool, but it's something that I have really kind of strayed away from in my designs and just in my like toolbox, just because it's so overly used now, especially for type. So I actually will go to different foundries. I spend a ridiculous amount of money on typefaces. A ridiculous amount of money, like thousands and thousands of dollars a month. But that's why we are such a great company when it comes to design. Like that's why people hire us. I don't think the clients know how much money we put into, because whatever we're delivering to the client, it's not the first design that we created and just was like, oh, this is good enough. Okay, deliver. Like we go through so many different options and possibilities, and then we deliver the best option to the client, right? After we've gone through and been like, okay, out of all these different options, this is the one we like the best. So I have to buy all of these typefaces that I might not even use for the client just to test it out. So there's just a lot that happens behind the scenes, but I suggest spending the money on good typefaces, like free typefaces. If you're looking for, if you're brand new, you're like, I don't have a dime to spend on this shit. Go to Google Fonts and use those. Don't find like some shitty free ones on the internet, because the kerning in them, which the kerning is the distance between the letters, the kerning is always off. And it's just little things that you probably wouldn't notice as a non-designer, but I notice. And you can notice, other people will notice, they won't know why it feels off, but it just feels off. So if you're going to use free ones, do Google Fonts. But I do suggest going to some different foundries. I love using the resource typewolf.com, or I will use, I forget, there's another one that I use just to search different fonts. You can basically just Google search for different fonts or like type foundries or what have you. But Typewolf is such a good resource, and we're actually, there's not that many out there. So I decided I'm going to create one. So I'm in the process of creating a full-on type resource website. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to create different type suites that you can just go in and be like, I love this type suite. I'm going to pull this. Great. You want to stay away from the fancy fonts. You want to prioritize readability. Stay away from Creative Market. Buy some good fonts. I promise it's worth it. And yeah, make sure you're using an actual title font for your titles and not a display. Okay, number three, because we're kind of talking about display fonts here, and I want to do a little mini lesson on scripts, because script fonts are, they're a struggle. I hate them for the most part. Hate is a strong word, but I rarely ever use them in my designs, you'll see. And if I do, it's because I know it's right for that particular client, but I'm so particular about the actual script that I'm using. And usually when I do use a script, it's because the client is like, I need to have a script, right? They really, really want it. And so I have to find, as a designer, right? Like I will never leave a project as something that I don't like, but a lot of times I have to find a middle ground between something that I'm obsessed with and then something that the client is obsessed with. And we have to find that middle ground of like, okay, so you love this and I love this. And I also, as a designer, sometimes you really have to coach your clients, because I know trends and we set trends at High Moon Studio. So I don't follow what's out there, right? I mean, I do. I follow it. I know what's going on. I'm always analyzing what's happening in the market so that I can do something differently or take it to the next level. You know what I mean? I just like want my clients to have something that's different and fresh and new, and that's why they pay the money to hire us. They're not paying us to just execute what's popular in the market right now and copy other people. They're paying us to come up with something and have a brand that stands out from everybody else's that's completely different. That's all to say. The reason why I don't love Script is because it goes out of style so quickly. A, it goes out of style so quickly. And then B, there are rarely good Script fonts on the market. And the reason why is because Script is supposed to emulate handwriting, but it's digital. Okay, so this is not handwriting, it's digital. So you have to basically digitize a Script font handwriting into something that you can use on a computer, which to do that right and to make it flow and be seamless and truly look like handwriting, it's very, very difficult. I mean, I would never want to be a Script font designer. There are font designers out there, right? That's the people that create these fonts. I would never want to be a Script font designer because the attention to detail and the way that you have to flow the letters into each other, it's insane the work that they do. So when there is a good Script font out there, everybody's using it. Everyone's using it. And why would you want your shit to look like everybody else's? Okay. So oftentimes with my clients, I will actually do handwritten, like I will use my own handwriting because I know nobody else is going to have that. I can just do it on my iPad, export it to my computer, digitize it in there, outline it, all of the things, and then pull that into their brand that way. So a lot of times when I do use Script, I will use my handwriting. Sometimes if it's not right for the client, I spend hours searching. And then when I do find the right script, I also spend hours after finding the right script, you know, adjusting the endpoints of the script. I outline it and adjust the endpoints so that it still doesn't feel 100% like the typeface, right? So, because I want it to look different and I want it to be fresh. And I also want it to look natural and have a nice flow to it so it feels like a script. So, mini script lesson here. It needs to emulate handwriting. Don't pick fonts that are cheesy. There's so many outdated, cheesy fonts. When it comes to scripts, so many outdated cheesy scripts. And that's why I like to stay away from them just in general, because they go out of style so fast. You guys, it's so amazing how fast a script goes out of style. So I would just avoid it as much as possible. If you're wanting it to be in your logo or something like that, get somebody to hand draw it who is a hand draw letterer, you know, get somebody to actually draw you something custom so that it is custom and it is handwritten and you can digitize that. Or just use part of the logo in the script. For instance, we have a client this week who really, really wanted Script, really, really wanted it. And so we only did part of her. She has of and then a in the middle of two other words in her logo. And so that's where we introduce that script. Use sparingly, never use it as titles. If you're going to use it as a display in your type suite, you can do that, but you never want to use it as titles and you only want to use it in like a word or a few words, never in a sentence, ever, ever. A good place to look for inspo, which a lot of people give this as inspo anyways, is Jenna Kutcher's site. Her designer, which I believe they use Tonic Site Shop. Tonic is super good at using Script because they understand these rules and they only use them very sparingly as design elements. So go look there, you'll see what I mean. If you're gonna do it in a logo, get it hand-drawn. Stay away from Script trends if you can. Try and do something different than what's on the market so that you're not feeling, your brand doesn't feel like everybody else's. And then a big one that I see people do sometimes that I just, oh, it's so cringy to me. You never, ever, ever want to uppercase Script font. Like you can do title case or sentence case, which is where the first letter of the word is uppercase, but never put two letters next to each other that are uppercase in a Script font. Ever. Please never, never promise me right now you will never, never do that. Please promise me. Okay, on to the next. All right, another thing that more so is like a copy lesson, but it ties into typography because typography is copy, right? You want to cut your copy down by half and then cut it down by half again. You just want the least amount of copy as you can have on a page. You want it to get straight to the point. Sell whatever you're selling. Sell the feeling that you're trying to emulate in the copy, but you don't need your copy to be long AF. I hate when I go to somebody's site, I am not somebody who wants to read that shit, right? Like, give me the opportunity. And I think, you know, there are a lot of different types of people, of ways to sell. There are different buyers, right? I'm the buyer who's like, I fucking know what I want. When I hit your website, you better show me where I can buy this because I'm ready to buy already. I'm ready. I already know that I want to buy from you. I don't need to read this shit. Like, I need you to have proper type hierarchy so I can just read the titles as I'm going down the page. Maybe the subheads. Probably won't read through your body copy because I don't have time for that / don't care because I already know I want to buy, right? So that's me. But there are other people out there, other buyers who do like to read a lot. So you kind of, more so when it comes to the copy, right? You still need to have your body copy font. You don't want like absolutely nothing on the page, but cut out all the bullshit, okay? Cut out the bullshit. Nobody cares. Get straight to the point. If you do have body copy, you need to separate it by title, subhead, body. Title, subhead, body, right? So that there's people like me who can skim the page, but then if other people, there's those other buyers who do want to read a lot, they can still read a lot if they want to. And by a lot, I don't mean like pages and pages and pages. I mean like a little paragraph, a lot. So that's just a little quick tip regarding typography and copy. It'll make your designs look better, especially when you guys are posting graphics on social media and on Instagram. Like, WTF is this thing where people need to put like every single word that they're feeling in their brain that day into a graphic. No, don't do that. More so, if you have more to say, create a carousel where you have multiple graphics, but keep the least amount of copy on each graphic. It will look better, I promise. All right, next tip is to avoid widows and orphans when you're typing out your stuff. So this is something I'll notice in a lot of graphics from people who aren't designers. And what a widow, I'm going to try and explain this in audio right now. But if you just can't visualize it, feel free to Google like typography widows, typography orphans, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Basically, it's like you have this paragraph of text and then you'll have one word on one line at the end and then you'll have your period. Or you have one word at the top of the paragraph and then your paragraph starts, you know. That's a widow and an orphan. So you have a giant paragraph and then you have one word. You never want one word on a line unless you're doing like a graphic like that, but that's not the point. The point is like, don't have one word on a line. Extend your text box, you know, make it skinnier or wider so that you can fit more words on a line so that there's not that widow or orphan. All right. And then these last few tips are all pretty quick. So the next one is never letter space lowercase. So I see a lot of people, they'll have their lowercase either body copy or whatever, and they'll throw some letter spacing in between it. So the space between the letters, obviously. Don't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. It's lowercase body copy stuff is meant to be read. It's for readability, right? It's meant to be read. And when you have letter spacing in there, it actually makes it less legible. So don't do that. But on the flip side, this is another tip, do letter space uppercase letters. Okay, so let's talk all caps for a second here. My final tip is about all caps too. So when you don't have to add a lot of letter spacing, right? It was really popular like a year, 2 years ago to have quite a bit of letter spacing. The spacing between letters, that's a trend that ebbs and flows in the design world. Sometimes you'll have like negative spacing. Sometimes you'll just have regular spacing. Sometimes it'll be popular to have a lot of spacing in between your letters. Typically though, with uppercase, all caps stuff, especially I would say not serif as much as sans serif. This is more so for sans serif. You want to add a little bit of spacing in between them just because it's easier to read. And another thing that I notice with one-liners is, and again, you can break these rules if you know why you're breaking them, right? But one thing with all caps is you really don't want to use that for paragraphs. You don't want to use it for long sentences. You want them to be one-liners or just like a short phrase because they're harder to read. So people even, you know, when people are posting on their Instagram stories and they're using the new Instagram typography, the all caps one, that like sans serif all caps one, a lot of people will use that and it's harder to read. Yes, it can be aesthetic and all of that stuff, but I don't suggest using that for longer paragraphs. It's not that big of a deal, right? It's just Instagram stories, but these are all tips for your brand and your business to really build out a type suite that is aesthetic. And, you know, it really, these little tips that I'm giving you guys, they make such such a difference when you actually pay attention and put them into practice in your brand. It makes your stuff instantly look better and you'll be able to look at it. Before, you probably didn't know these rules. And so you could look at something and be like, there's just something about this that feels off, but you couldn't quite put your finger on it. Now you have these tips and tricks. You'll be able to look at your graphics and you'll be able to reference this podcast episode, which, by the way, we always put a little transcription of it on our website in the blog. So if you don't want to come back and listen, you can always go quickly look at the transcription in our blog. But basically, you're going to be able to look at your stuff and be like, wow, this looks better. Oh my gosh, I had no idea how much typography actually meant to my business. So use them, love these tips, and let me know how they help you. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you got a lot out of this episode. We love you guys. If you could take the time to write us a review of this podcast, that would be great. We would sincerely appreciate it so much so that we would like to send you a little something in the mail. So if you do write a review, take a little screenshot and email it over to Becca, B-E-C-C-A, at highmoon-studio.com, and we will send you a little something in the mail. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dream Smarter Podcast. My name is Alex Kraling, and I challenge you to grow your business the smart way, not the hard way. Follow along at Dream Smarter Podcast on Instagram.